Amen. If you're not already in John chapter 5, please open your Bibles there. That's where our message is coming from today, this afternoon. We're looking at the colt being set free. It's only a much shorter message in the afternoon. So if you want to stay around, it's only a 20-minute message at most today. So we'll be in prayer also for that as we remember to come and sit under the word of the Lord. But our message this morning is mainly dealing with verses 6 to 9, but the title of it is, Wilt Thou Be Made Whole? It's just a title from Scripture itself. Wilt thou be made whole? You know, when the Lord asks a question, we need to be sure that he wants an answer. Now, Jesus, in Matthew 22, 41 and 42, he asked a double question. And he said, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Now, the way you answer those two questions determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or hell. See, the sin question has been settled. It was settled at the cross. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He has ascended to heaven. We walk in victory and he is coming again. Amen. But the question today is the son question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And the way you answer that determines where you will spend eternity. You see, Jesus settled it once and for all, Hebrews 10:14. The sin debt's been paid, redemption's been purchased, and if a person's not going to think right about Christ, well then they need to get on their knees because they need to accept him as their Savior. There's no other way to be saved. In our text this morning, Jesus asks another question. And the Lord is asking a question here to an impotent man. Jesus, as we can see from the text, he's gone up in verse 1 to Jerusalem for a feast. It doesn't tell us what feast, but he's gone for a feast. And he comes to the sheep market. Now, the sheep market, historians tell us, and I've been in that area there in Jerusalem, is just inside the sheep gate. And the sheep gate was where they would bring all the lambs that were being bought for sacrifices by worshippers in the temple. And there was a pool there called the Pool of Bethesda. And it was surrounded by five porches. Now, where I went, I don't know, I couldn't tell you it was the exact pool, but it was near where the sheep gate was in the wall. And there was a pool there, and around it, it's down below where you stand up top, and there's all these columns, and there's five porches in there. And in these porches, verse 3 reminds us, there was a great multitude of impotent folk who were blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And verse 4 tells us that at a certain season, an angel would go down into the pool and the waters would be troubled. In other words, they'd be stirred, they'd be a little bit agitated. And the first person to hop into the pool at that time would be healed. They would be made completely whole again. In verse 5, we see a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And that's what precedes the events of our text this morning and the question that Jesus asked of the impotent man. The impotent man, Jesus, when he saw him lie there, knew he had been there now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise and take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. You know, the inability to walk, whether it's in an unsaved person's life as well as a Christian's life, is a sign that something is wrong in the system. Something's very wrong in the system. Something that needs a physician to take a look at what's wrong. Now, for a believer, the lack of power to walk joyfully in a new and living way that leads to God and to His throne of grace is a truly serious one. And it should be a concerning one. You see, Christ is the great physician, and He comes to every pool of Bethesda, where those who need healing, those who are hurting, those who are laying, and He asks in His loving way, in a searching way, He says, "Wilt thou be made whole?" In verse 7, the impotent man answered the Lord. He says, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." You know, for those who are burdened with care, those who are looking for someone to put them in the pool, so to speak, hoping somehow to be helped, and by just continuing in the ordinary means of grace, then this question of Jesus directs us to a better way. It directs us to a way of power, a power we may never truly understood. You see, when those who are struggling are willing to confess their own powerlessness and their failure to find any other means other than the Lord's help, this question surely brings the fact that hope is near. Without the word, without prayer, there's a spiritual weakness to a believer's life. The trouble with our country today is that weakness. Don't blame it all on the devil. The weakness in Christian homes to pray, the weakness in Christian homes to study and read the word, the weakness in a believer's life is a reflection of what's going on in the world out there. We have stepped away from the principles of God, and our country is paying for it. And until we get back to His word, until we get back to a vibrant prayer life, we're going to struggle, all of us. And those who are willing to confess this failure, this weakness, the Lord's question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" reminds us help is only an answer away. See, the Lord's question is an offer to renew and to restore our spiritual strength. It's an offer to enable us to walk in that newness of life, a life that we may have slipped out of. He will fit us to walk properly. And when we walk with Him, there'll be no limping. There'll be no lameness. We will walk as God-centered, Christ-empowered, Holy Spirit-driven, strong men and women in all His ways. And we need to listen when He asks us a question. We need to listen to what He says. Then we'll know what it means to pray without ceasing. Then we'll understand that this word isn't something to be bashed over someone's head, but it's a light and a lamp to our paths and our daily walk. And like the impotent man, we will know the wholeness our Savior offers and the way He bestows it and what He asks of us, and we'll be ready to give a yes to that question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Jesus said in verse 8, "Rise up, take thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. and on the same day was the Sabbath. You know, see, Jesus only had to say a word and the miracle was done. Now, Jesus didn't perform miracles for the man to see and believe. He simply spoke the word. The man heard the word of God. He believed what was told him and he obeyed. And he was restored back to a normal, healthy life. And here's the key to us answering the question of the Lord, "Wilt thou be made whole?" We hear the word of God, we believe what God says, and we obey. Obedience is the key to a blessed walk with the Lord. Obey God, and you can leave all the consequences of that obedience in His hands, regardless of the cost to you. When we disobey God, all the consequences are put upon us. And I've seen people hurting. I've seen people struggling. I've seen homes torn asunder for the simple reason they would not obey. And the Lord asks, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you know that walking is a pleasure? When one's healthy, there's nothing like going for a little walk through the bush, a little walk along the beach, a walk around the block. It's joyful. My wife used to walk 4 days a week in Goulburn, up huge hills and through parks and so forth, praying and singing to the Lord. It was a pleasure. One of the lovely things that we can do in life. But only if you're healthy. For a sick person, walking is a burden. For some, it's impossible. And for many Christians, movement and progressing God's way is a very tiring effort for them. Just as walking is to someone who is lame. They're not filled, they're not empowered by Christ and His Spirit. They're not obedient to the commands. They don't listen to the questions. And they're not ready to give an answer of yes. And Christ comes along and He says, "Rise and walk." And with Christ's word always comes Holy Spirit power to do what Christ asked us to do. And we've been given a picture after picture in the scriptures of life that He restores and empowers. Now Genesis 5:24, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Remember God's call to Abraham. Abraham, 99 years old. The Lord appeared unto him and said, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me." Abraham himself, in Genesis 24:40, said, "The Lord before whom I walk." Can we say that? Can we really say that? The Lord before whom I walk. David, in the blessed hymn book of Psalms, he sings of walking with God. Psalm 89:15, he says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." And Isaiah's prophecy reminds us, Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, we have a wonderful blessing in the truth that our God, Almighty God, never becomes weary. He never faints. He's never late, and he's always on time. He is never weak, but always strong. And this is the walk that the Father sent the Son, Jesus, to make possible for his children. When we believe his word, all things are possible. And that's all he asks of us. Believe the word. He says, believe in me. And not only did this man believe the words of Jesus, he gave testimony to that belief, to his faith, by taking up his bed. He testified he no longer needed it because he answered the question, will thou be made whole? And he was. By walking, he testified that the healing wasn't just in his mind, but he was made physically whole again. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 tell us, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So the walk is so hard. You've no idea of the pressures on my life. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Then rise up and walk. This is a walk of faith whose power comes from God and the Holy Spirit and from Christ. To a believer who has decided to turn from their own ways and to put themselves into the hands of an almighty God. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And it's sad that so many believers regard such a walk as impossible. So impossible, they do not feel that it's a sin that they walk otherwise. And the result is, see, that they do not yearn for this walk with Christ. They do not yearn for the newness of life that God has offered them. They spend so little time in the very presence of God. They don't know how to understand coming before him, allowing him to fill them truly with their spirit. They have the spirit, but the spirit can't operate because they're not surrendered to the walk. They will not answer the question, wilt thou be made whole, with a yes. And they've become so accustomed to life with no power that the life and walk in God's strength no longer has much concern and little attraction for them. And they wonder if the words of Jesus really mean what they say. They struggle and they think, can this truly be realized in my daily life? Well, the answer to that is yes. If believers only realize that God sent his Son and the Holy Spirit to indeed bring us and fit us for a life and a walk that comes from heaven. And many dare not even think or hope for it. You know, if someone breaks a leg, a doctor heals that patient, he treats them externally. And if possible, he helps the patient then later to become independent of whatever illness or whatever was crippling them so that they can carry on in the future. He restores the patient, but then he leaves the patient. But not Jesus, not the great physician. How does Jesus make us whole? Well, the work of the Lord in those areas are opposite to how man fixes things up. Because Jesus works from within. How? By entering into our very life, by the power of His Spirit. And instead of a patient no longer needing His help, Christ's purpose in healing us is to bring us into such a dependence on Him that we're unable to do without Him for a single moment. And yet, how often we go through the day with not even a thought of Him. And we struggle. And we wonder why. And He's knocking on the door of our heart. Will thou be made whole? Colossians 3:4 says that Christ is our life. Can we lay claim to that? He is our life in the sense that many Christians have absolutely no idea of. And our misunderstanding of this truth, which is, by the way, a divine truth, is the very reason for a weak and sickly life. And as long as we expect Christ to perform occasional acts of grace for us, trusting only that it will last for a short time, then we cannot be made whole. But as we can see that nothing is our own, that everything is to be Christ, surrendered to Him, we learn to accept this from Him. We learn to trust Him for it. And the very life of Christ becomes the health of our soul and our spirit. You notice this miracle of this impotent man was immediate. Jesus didn't take all day to perform it. He didn't have a sit down and said, "Oh, I'm a bit tired, I'm halfway through, I'll have a rest." You know, the basic meaning of health is life in a normal or normal and undisturbed state. And Jesus gives us that. He gives us health. How? By giving Him Himself as our life. He is the strength of our walk. And those prophetic words of Isaiah bear witness that Christ is now the strength of our lives. As we wait on the Lord, we will walk and we will not faint. You know, and I've scratched my head many times, and it's very hard to fathom that so many think that this life of total dependence on Christ is a loss of their personal liberty. That it's too much of a strain. They absolutely confess of a need of dependence, but that dependence must still have room for their own will and their own ways. And our relationship to God is not that He does 2/3 of the work and we do the other third, but that God does all and we do all through Him doing all in us. See, there's a Christian saying that goes around. I don't agree with it, you may, but I'm just saying that God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who are completely surrendered to Him. That's the victory, the real victory. When our will seeks nothing but His will, then we find out what true independence really means. See, real independence for every believer is Christ in complete control. And those who cannot see this stay weak. They stay sickly. They're always letting self do the part of work they want to do and Christ doing the part He wants to do. They don't see that Christ wants to do it all in and through you. And those who accept the life of unceasing dependence on Christ as life and strength for them are the ones made whole. You know, as God, Jesus can enter into and become the life of His creature as a glorified one who, by the way, received the Holy Spirit from the Father, John 3:34. He can renew the heart of a sinner. He can abide in them, and by His presence, He can keep them in full strength and full spiritual health. And all who would prefer to walk and please God, those who want to be totally dependent on God, so that as you read, as you pray, as you listen to Him, what Jesus says, will thou be made whole, then He will give you a life that can pray. He will give you a life of faith, a life that is pleasing to God. He can instill in you a life that has a desire to be obedient to God. Now, the three things in this story that teach us, we've touched on them briefly, but they need a bit of special attention to finish that off. And the first one is we've been talking about, wilt thou be made whole? Now the answer to that is obvious. Who wouldn't want to be made whole? Who wouldn't have to take their burden, their sickness, their illness away? But in the spiritual life of a believer, this question is even more pointed. Because some will not admit they're sick. They think everything's fine, walking in their own strength, their own ways, adding a bit of God to it as they go. They will not believe that Christ can make them whole. They may believe it for others, but are doubtful that it's for them. And the reason for this, the real root source of this, is the fear they have. A fear of self-denial, a fear of sacrifice that is required. And instead of handing their life over for Christ to control, they insist on being in control of themselves. They are not willing to give up wholeheartedly their walk in this world. They're not willing to give up self-will and self-confidence and self-pleasing. And they're definitely not willing to give up self-control. And some of them are quite happy, if that's the word, to be in a state that is sick. Because then they can control their environment and those around them. The Christ life, the walk in Christ, is too straight for them, too narrow for them. And they cannot see that it is absolute freedom. They do not, they will to do it, but they do not will to be made whole. Brothers and sisters, if you are willing, call out to the Lord. Regardless of the price, I'll pay it. I will. Because it's Christ's will to make us clean and whole. But it must be our will also. It must be the desire of your heart and life. It is that we can just tell Him, Lord, Yes, I will. Second, Christ desires that we look to him as our only help. Verse 7. Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. Now, I can only imagine what this impotent man thought of other people around him, the nature of man, as he struggled for years to get into that pool of water and no one helped him. I don't know how long he waited, days and night. I do know he was impotent for 38 years and no one helped him. I have no help. I have no man. And for us to be made whole, this needs to be our cry. But no man on this earth can help me. I can go from weakness to strength in an ordinary way of life, but sickness, and especially spiritual sickness, demands a special care. And our inability to walk in the Christian life joyfully is a sign of soul disease. See, no one denies the hardships, but never deny the victory. Never deny it. We need to own up to it. We need to confess to God our failings. And God won't reprove you or I for doing that. We need to come to him and say, there is no hope without your grace and mercy. And that grace and mercy of Christ will rest upon you. And for many need to put away the thought that sooner or later they'll grow out of their sickly condition into a healthy one. But that's not going to happen. If a believer would truly get on their knees, believe that there is an almighty God in heaven who sent his Son into this world to indwell us through his Spirit, and confess before him that we cannot pray as we should, we cannot trust as we should, we don't have the hope we should have, because we cannot give ourselves over to a heavenly life that truly desires to love, to pray, and to rely on God's words for us. And if they will come to Christ earnestly, sincerely, and they will see immediately, God can fix that and make them whole. He will come to all who respond and surrender. He will come to all who come in true faith, and he will fill your life with himself. And last, that's what Christ asked for. He asked for surrender and faith. Now, when Jesus spoke this command to the impotent man, his command had to be obeyed or nothing would have happened. And this man believed that there was power and truth in the Lord's words. The question for us is, do we believe there is power and truth in his words? Remember the man born blind from birth? He didn't say, well, why should I go to the pool of Siloam and wash? He went and did as Jesus commanded, and it tells us in John 9:7, he washed and came seeing. When Jesus said to the man, stretch forth thy hand, the man could have said, well, I can't. It's paralyzed. I can't do anything. But he didn't say such a thing. He simply stretched forth his hand, and Matthew 12:13 tells us, and it was restored whole like as the other. And the Lord asked this faith of us as well. And if we don't believe this, if we will not take courage and say with Paul, Philippians 4:13, to think, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, then we cannot obey. We cannot obey. Isn't Christ, is he not worthy of our obedience? The one who surrendered the glories of heaven, the worship of heavenly beings, to come into a sinful world, to give his life a ransom for whosoever will may come to him, to come into a world full of sin, a man with his sin nature, rejected, despised, the one who was obedient unto death. Is he not worthy of our obedience? But if we listen to Christ's words that describe the walk that is not only possible, but livable, as described and proved by God's saints of old, that's right through the Bible. And if we fix our eyes on a loving, a caring, a giving Christ, whose words are words of power, then rise, brothers and sisters, and walk. See, we'll take up the courage. We will obey. We will rise. We will walk with him in strength, in the strength of the Lord. And we will know Christ as the strength of our lives. And we will tell and prove that Christ has made us whole. Does that mean we're going to be perfect saints? No, it doesn't mean that at all. This lame man would have had to learn how to do many things that he couldn't do when he couldn't walk. But we're to be confident because we have trusted ourselves to Christ and he has made us whole. And every day we wake, we rise, and we walk, he is with you. Just trust him to do what he says. Obey what he asks. Rise and walk. What wilt thou have me to do? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, Lord, that we can put our complete life into your hands. Everything, Lord. This world tells us not to place all our eggs in one basket, but you tell us to place ourselves completely, all that we are and have, into your hands. What a difference between the world and the Saviour. Father, may we honestly look at this question. Look into the areas of our lives that we may keep from you. The denial that you can make us whole, and that we come to you with a resounding yes to your question upon us and allow you to make us whole. We thank you, Lord, that it's by your grace we are saved. And we thank you, Father, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We pray, Lord, that we put away the excuses, the so-called circumstances of our lives, and allow you to be who you desire to be in us. and that we rise and we walk to the glory of your name. We pray for those who are here today who may not know you as their Saviour. We pray that the Holy Spirit has touched their hearts, that you have drawn them, and that we recognise that everyone who is here today is here because it has pleased God to put them here. And we thank you, Lord, to be a part of your work in this world. Give us the strength we need, Lord. Help us to throw the crutches away and to walk in the newness of life, giving a yes to the answer of your question. We thank you, we love you, and we praise you in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.